This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And with the anniversary of 9/11, we have with us R.C. Collins with Bradley Military Academy. R.C., you are obviously you're a young cadet. You're a young man who does his thing at a military academy. You're not yet in the military service. How are you guys preparing for 9/11?
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hendry. For starters, I'm sure you've been reading the news. You've seen it, and it looks like we're in it. There's an orange alert. There's an orange alert.
And it's, okay, that's a high alert.
Yes, sir, that's correct. We are at a high level of alert. And those of us who are at Bradley Military Academy, those of us on the front line of the military, are taking it very seriously.
Well, you guys are not on the front line. You're in a military academy. You're not in the Army.
No, that's correct, sir. But by the same token, you know, we're ready to go to war for our country. I do feel pretty psycho, and I do feel like I love my country very much.
Okay, so what is it that you guys can do?
Yes, sir. I wanted to answer that question. We think with this new orange alert, this new high terror alert, the people that are most at risk of being afraid are women, and because they're the segment of the population that has not yet been to war on a consistent basis. And
well, so what will you guys do specifically? You're not in the Army. You're not carrying a gun.
No, sir, none of that. But we can make the women members of our society, the female members of our population, we feel we can take it upon ourselves to make them feel a little bit better. And to that end, we will be in uniform on 9/11. We will fan out into areas where women generally congregate, whether it be in restaurants or in cocktail lounges or where they get their hair done. And we will go up to them and try to talk with them about what this means to our country.
Well, don't you think women understand it?
Oh, I think they understand it.
And okay, but to interrupt you, don't you think women understand it and are going to deal with it as well as men?
I don't think so. With the new orange alert, high level of alert, women, they've never had to be in a war.
Well, you've never been in a war either, right? I mean, how old are you?
Well, I'm 16. I'm a junior at Bradley Military Academy.
Well, so you've never been in a war, right?
No, sir, I've not. But because I'm a man and male, I do inherit aspects, I think, of the male gender. I'm better prepared for it. So,
all right, so as a man, you and the other members of the military academy will be making women feel better by finding them in malls and places like that and cocktail lounges. And doing what specifically?
Well, we identify the women according to age. Women 15 to 22, women 22 to 30, and all women over 30. The women over 30 will basically ask them, are they scared? And if they are, we can give them a reassuring hug. The women between the ages of 22 and 30, we will hold them a little bit longer if they need that. And the women between the ages of 15 and 22 will bring back to the military academy for a formal dinner, champagne, reception, you know, a corsage.
Why the difference in the treatment of the... So the women over 30 get a hug, the women between... what is it?
22 and 30.
22 and 30, you hold them for a while, but the younger women...
Right, we're asked that question a lot. Younger women, Phil, are treated a little bit better because I could tell you this much. Younger women are the hope of this country as mothers. They are the hope of this country as potential wives. And I look upon women the same way, and this is a weird analogy, but I hope you'll bear with it.
Go ahead.
I see women as parts of a cow. In other words, young women, 15 to 22, are filet mignon. 22 to 30 are the sirloin. And 30-plus are kind of flank steak. And that's no disrespect to women over 30.
Well, it sounds a little disrespectful, especially if you're bringing the young women back to the military academy for a formal dinner and also a dance, I read here in your facts?
Yes, there's a formal dinner, a dance, and then we take them over to Commandant Wireman's quarters for a private reception and a nightcap. So we feel we're honoring the women of our country, just in different ways.
And at the same time protecting them.
At the same time protecting them, yes, sir.
All right, with me is R.C. Collins. He's a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. We wanted to find out how all aspects of the military would be handling the anniversary of 9/11.
And also, Mr. Andy, if I could interrupt.
Go ahead.
As a fighting man, it's my responsibility, I think, to protect what we call the flowers of society, and those flowers, sir, is the women. The women is the flowers of the society.
But the younger women get to have a dance. And
well, I wish you wouldn't focus so much on that. If there's really no difference, the older women, all they really need is a hug and a pat on the back, because a nice, friendly pat on the back, you're going to be okay. The younger, the women between 22 and 30, are held in a gentle way, and then the young women, they get to go to the dance.
And a cocktail reception, and I think I read somewhere in here about there's a reception with Commandant Wireman. And what else?
And there's a dance and a reception with Commandant Wireman and a nightcap.
And a nightcap.
Yes, sir.
All right, let me give the number. Number is 1-800-449-8686. A lot of the military academies, and these are high schools across the country.
And also, the younger women's going to birth our future, so we got to take care of them too. That's the only thing that I wanted to say.
All right.
And the younger women are the ones that will carry our seeds to the future. The ones over 30 only have so much usage, and then they are used up. Then I don't mean any disrespect.
Okay, but you got to understand.
Because they dry up. And
but you got to understand, a lot of the things you're saying may sound offensive to older women.
Well, I don't want them to see. They may be misinterpreting me. I don't want them to take me out of context.
Take you out of context. You just said, all right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If the military academy kids across this country are going to try to make women feel better because they claim women are going to be more afraid of what's going to happen on 9/11, do you think that they should be separating women out like that? First of all, what makes you think that women need more comforting?
Well, as I said, sir.
Well, you mentioned that they've never been in a war.
Yeah, women have never been to war. And I think when it comes to war and when it comes to the fighting end of things, I think you have to kind of get out of the way and let men take control. I've been training and everything. I know about war.
But you're 16, kid. What do you know of war?
What?
What do you know about war? You're 16. You've never been in a war.
But even at 16, I know more about war than women do because they've never been in them.
Well, what about the women that have served in uniform for this country?
Yeah, but the women that served in uniform for America were either working on a radio way back with their in the gear with the rear
in the rear with the gear,
or they work in the kitchens making the food that they eat in the mess hall. Okay, see, that's the part you need to understand. Or a lot of women work in the motor pool. And Mr. Henry, my father took me on a Disney cruise, and the first thing we did was the lifeboat thing, and they said women and children first. Okay, so that's very pivotal.
They always say women and children first. It happens to be one of the older.
They take, what we like to say at Bradley Military Academy is the women are in the rear with the gear because they take our gear in the rear.
You know, kid, a lot of the sexist jokes, you're a very young man, they're not funny, okay?
Sir?
They're not funny.
I think you need to understand the mind of a fighting man who's waiting to get called up to the
front lines.
To the front lines, yeah.
But your sexist jokes are not funny.
Well, I apologize to the women. I don't want them to think I don't have no respect.
Well, the fact that you've got women who are old and dried up, like you said, and they don't have the usage. You're letting all the young women come out to the military academy and have a dance or whatever the hell it is, a champagne reception.
Well, you can't expect us to have women over 30 there. We'd look stupid. Besides, they're married too. The only reason why we're making these women feel better is because their husbands are in the army and they'll be overseas and they won't take care of them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me talk to get to a phone call here. We're with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. He is a junior, and their program is to make women feel better. Here is Jill. Hi, Jill. You're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins.
Hi, R.C.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know what makes you think women are going to be so much more afraid and that women would want someone such as yourself to make them feel better. Women are just as strong, mentally and physically.
I know women like to believe that they are.
No, you don't understand.
They...
You are very young. I'm 35.
Yes, ma'am.
I spent 14 years in the military, and
I trained
side by side with men who were no stronger. Physically, yes, because they're bigger, maybe, but mentally, no.
Yeah, see, right there. Physically stronger.
Not all of them.
May I ask you?
I outran many men. I did more push-ups than many men. I did more sit-ups than many men.
Right. We have female police officers, RC.
Well, that's a little bit different because they're
Why
not...
is that different? Every woman
because
standing out
in
there in the military
the
is just as capable of protecting their country as every man.
That's, see, women are, there's a whole new day. RC, do you know that women are in the Israeli army?
Yeah, and they're getting bombed every day. I wouldn't make that as an example.
They're getting bombed every day because they're surrounded by, everybody in Israel is on the front line of their military, okay?
Ma'am, can I ask the lady, is your name Jill?
Yes.
With all due respect, at your age, you know, you're a little old now.
At my age, I would still, were I not a single mom with two children, I would still be in the military today.
Because
of circumstances, because of the military man I was married to who was worthless, I have had to choose to get out of the military to take care of my children.
Well, I don't mean any offense by this, but over 30, we consider you to be stew meat, and women under...
Yeah, the whole analogy about, you know, isn't that offensive?
Is that offensive? Are you kidding me? I'd slap his face if he was within
reach. Ma'am, No, ma'am, you misunderstand. I'm not misunderstanding.
I think, RC, I think you're what, 16?
Yes, ma'am.
I think you need to back up a few years. You missed a few hormones in your pubescence.
I'm pretty psycho, and I'm ready to take care of business for our country, ma'am.
Then we don't want you to take care of business because you're not ready. With a mentality like that, you are not ready. You are highly, highly immature.
Well, ma'am, I apologize for referring to you. I don't mean you specifically. I mean, in general, women over 30 are a bit like flank steak.
Give me another analogy than a side of beef.
All right. Women over 30 are like good coffee, only you can't make it no more because it's in the bottom of the filter. You know what I mean? In other words, it's flavorful, but you got to throw it away.
Women over 30 are still mothers, can still give birth, and can still protect their country.
Too.
Women over 30 are not stew meat.
My father's very rich, and
that must be your problem.
I've
you
had
have
to
not had to work
lot.
For anything
yeah.
in your life.
I don't think so. Jill, thank you for your call, and let me just, I'm not trying to straighten you out, RC. What I'm trying to say to you is, if you're going to use analogies about women over 30, don't say stew meat, and...
Well, I said flank steak, and...
Well, the meat thing is all wrong, all right?
I said the young ones was filet mignon.
First of all, it's filet mignon. Do you get out? You said your dad is rich. Does he take you to steakhouses?
Uh-huh.
Well, then it's called filet mignon.
All right, forgive me, sir, but I'm here with a lot of guys, you know, that have come up from the bootstraps.
Come up by their bootstraps.
Again, I'm not familiar.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Should women, tomorrow on 9/11, should women be given a little bit more tender, loving care because they might be more afraid during this high alert status? Are women in this country more at risk of being more nervous about tomorrow? And this young man's idea of taking care of them, that women over 30 are going to be even more afraid than women under 30, is this a little sexist? Our number is 1-800-449-8686. A lot of women have been in the military, a lot of women have been police officers, a lot of women have done a lot of very tough jobs. But he says because they've never experienced war, they may just come unglued tomorrow. We're live in New York. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. On the line with me, R.C. Collins. He is a Military Academy junior at Bradley Military Academy, Alhambra, California. Military academies across the country will be taking part in an operation to to comfort women, and that means little girls as well?
Well, no, not little kid girls, because we figure their moms can help them. But the women, they've never been in a war. And that's, I think you got to consider that. And I don't want anybody taking anything out of context.
Nobody's taking anything out of context. When you say women over 30 are like stew meat, I mean, that's not taking them out of context.
I think you're taking that out of context, sir.
How am I taking it out of context? Hey, women over 30 are like stew meat. Didn't you say that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how's that being taken out of context?
Because it's not in the context that I said it.
Well, what context did you say it? You said that women between 15 and 22 are filet mignon, women between 22 and 30 are New York sirloin or something, and over 30, flank steak.
Flank steak, yes, not stew meat. And
okay, I know you said stew meat.
No, I did not, sir.
Well, I think you did.
I said it in the good kind of context, not in a bad way.
Well, I don't know what good context there is to calling a woman stew meat. Here is Lori on the Phil Henry Show. Lori, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, I can't believe that this young man is for real. If this is what our military academies are turning out, then
the military academies
should shut down.
I'm simply saying that women over 30 are inside a cannoli.
I'm telling you, you are an embarrassment to the male gender of this country.
Why?
You are a joke. And I thought this was a joke. I really
I did too.
Was a joke.
Are you kidding with us, kid?
No, unless you think the murder of 3,000 people on 9/11 is a joke.
And I'm
going
to tell you something about that. The women of this country that were left widows last year are stronger than you will ever be.
They're scared.
Stronger.
How do you know they're scared?
Stronger
than you will ever be. You are an embarrassment to the male gender of this country.
Have you ever been in a war? Have you ever been in a war?
I've been in war my whole life. Every woman in this country has been in a war of some kind.
Don't give me that women's liberation stuff. Don't give me that women's liberation stuff.
I'm not giving you any women's lib. And I can't believe yet you are really for real. I cannot
believe it. Why? Because I stand up for women? I guess you're
every
one of those
woman,
women that
every
don't
woman
want no man to stand up.
Is either laughing at you, laughing, or being so furious they don't know what to say.
I stand up for the women of this country,
I
which is something most guys
up.
Don't.
I don't want you to stand up for me.
Oh, are you all the women of America?
I don't want you to.
Or are you just as big
want,
as all the women in America?
I don't want you to even be on my side. How do you like that?
Well, too bad, because
that's
I don't
right.
think you know.
It's
I don't think you know
bad.
What's best for you. I don't
and
think you
I
know what's best for you.
And I pity the woman that ever marries you later on in life, whenever that will be.
Yeah,
I
but without
pity
men,
her.
You're without men, you're because nothing.
She'll
because
be
we've
either,
got
she'll be either
men,
a pork chop or a sausage or some kind of a piece of meat to you.
Absolutely, and that's the point we're making here, RC. Comparing women to meat.
And I said, and I'll say it again, you took it out of context.
What context?
I said,
what
when
context?
I said,
I didn't take it at all out of context.
I was saying it as a compliment to women, on account of we want to protect them.
You don't protect us.
You know something, lady? You'd be speaking German
us.
If it wasn't for men. You'd
don't
be speaking German.
Don't protect us. We don't need your protection.
All right. So when Al Qaeda comes to rape you, you know, I guess you'll lose my phone number.
I'll know how to take care
right.
of myself.
Okay, Lori.
Man,
thanks,
your meat
Phil.
Is so old. You've already been made into a pair of leather
thanks,
shoes.
Phil.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Unbelievable. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. He's a 16-year-old kid from a military academy, and he believes that women tomorrow on the anniversary of 9/11 with a high orange alert, a security alert facing this country, women are going to be very distraught and will need some talking to and some counseling from strong men. And he feels that military academy members, young men in their high school years, can counsel women and help them as of tomorrow. This is the Phil Henry Show. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with R.C. Collins in just a moment.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, I'm Opie.
And I'm Anthony.
And we listen to the Phil Henry Show.
All right, thanks, guys. 1-800-449-8686. We are on the line here with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. Will women tomorrow, the anniversary of the disaster, the horror of 9/11, will they need extra comfort? We're talking to you, by the way, guys, from New York City. We're doing our show in New York City all this week, and we will be with you tomorrow for the anniversary of 9/11.
And if I could jump in, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead, R.C.
My hat's off and kudos to you and everybody and at the ground zero.
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686.
I mean, what, did I not say that right?
You said it fine. It just, we're not at, we're in New York.
Yes, sir.
All right, let me go over here to, I believe it's Jody. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, hi. I'm just calling.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm quite appalled at what this young man has to say. I'm amazed he's in a military academy. I'm 32. I'm a mother
ma'am.
Of two. I'm not a flank steak by no means.
I apologize. I guess what I'm saying is we need to protect younger women because they're still of childbearing years.
Well, now let's back up there because I'm 32. I just said that. I have two children and I'm not done. I could very well have another child. Being 32 does not mean that I'm not of childbearing years.
Yes,
so
ma'am,
I'm
but
surviving.
the chances of you having a mongoloid kid go up the older you are.
Well, wait a second.
Oh, I think that's a little drastic there. A mongoloid
no,
kid?
No, you can ask doctors. They say when you get into your 30s and early 40s, your kid can come out mongoloid.
Wait a minute. My best friend, my godson, his mother was 39 when she had him.
Is he mongoloid?
No, he is not. I think I'd say that if he was.
Well,
listen, R.C., I really think that in your military academy, they need to educate you a little bit more on childbearing years for women because, you know, I don't have to be done at 32, and if I have a child at 35, it's not going to be a mongoloid child. There are increased risks when you have children over 30.
That's the point. That's the point I'm making. Increased risks.
Increased risks is one thing. A mongoloid child is another.
But
you
that's
need to get your wording correct.
They say Down syndrome increases on account of you get older.
Yes, so yes, all of that true. The lady just admitted that. And I would also thank you not to belch in the middle of a conversation we're having.
I apologize.
Well, if so, find your manners.
I apologize, ma'am.
Well, basically, I still find
look,
it appalling
but
that
the
you're...
The point is, the best meat is from a young cow, a cow that's kept in a little tent so it don't...
Will we knock off all of the analogies to meat?
Exactly, thank you. That needs to be knocked off right away because you know what? I bet if you asked my husband, he'd classify me as a filet mignon and not a flank steak.
Well, and you know, there's an old saying, looking through the eyes of love. I'm sure you've heard this. I'm in the Glee Club at Bradley. And what that means is, well, you can laugh, but what that means is you're looking through the eyes of love.
Well, you know what, though?
Is that your kid?
Yeah, my children are right here by my side.
And they're all healthy.
Oh, I have beautiful children.
No,
beautiful
no, they all have Down syndrome.
They all have Down syndrome?
Yeah, no, they all have Down syndrome. Unbelievable.
Okay, well, one thing for sure, Jody, you may be filet, but you ain't virgin beef. We know that's for a fact. Just a joke. But what I'm trying to say is...
Yeah, but maybe you are, right?
No. I was with a girl.
Okay,
I mean,
this isn't
on.
About
you're
you. Yeah, this
old.
Is not about you. You're 16, man. This isn't about you.
You're 16-year-old in a military academy, and you're talking about comfort in women on 9/11, the anniversary for tomorrow. And you know what? I teach for a living. Do you know
my
how
point.
I'm going to be comforting in my classroom trying to explain to them what we're celebrating tomorrow as a commemorative issue for tomorrow?
My point
Excuse
is simply
me.
This. Women have never been in war times. Men
neither
have.
Neither have you. But neither
the
have you.
Have, but the men's have, and I'm being taught by men's what have.
You got to go to school and get some English lessons, too.
I was just going to say that, and you're speaking to a teacher, so you're really...
Well, I'm sorry, but that's the
I
state of education
like
in America. Thank you very much. You're a teacher, so I got you to thank for it.
And you know what?
Last
let me
point...
just let you know something. I work with deaf children, children who cannot hear, and I can promise you that they weren't born to mothers who were over 30 or close to 40. And if they, you know,
when
if they were...
When they talk, though, yeah, but they, you shouldn't make them talk.
Why not?
Because when you make deaf kids talk, they go, That's the
you
worst
know what?
Thing. You know something? No, really, that's the worst thing because it's embarrassing for them.
You know
Look
what? I work with
Helen...
deaf adults who speak as clear as I do, R.C., So I don't think you have a right to speak about deaf people.
Do you know Lou Ferrigno?
Yes, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Okay, he doesn't still talk good, even all these years later.
You know what, though?
What is it with you, man? The guy was an actor.
Because of one deaf person.
I think you're a good teacher, too, Jody. You've had more patience with this young man.
Do you work with Rush Limbaugh? He's deaf, too.
He's got an implant.
He has a cochlear implant.
When he went deaf, he started talking like this. I'm Rush Limbaugh, child. He started like a retard.
Jesus.
You need to probably get out of the military academy, because I certainly don't want you serving my country, and I don't want you protecting me or any other women out there. I'm sure that there are plenty of other people, our husbands and our close friends and relatives, who can do a better job protecting us than you can with your asinine analogies that you're using.
If that's the sense that I've given you, I apologize on behalf of everybody in the military. Can I tell you a joke just so there's no hard feelings?
No, I really don't have time for your jokes.
We don't want to hear your jokes.
Right,
please.
Go ahead,
so
Jody. See you later. Bye-bye.
Let me tell you, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
Helen Keller burned her face because she answered the phone.
Helen Keller burned her face because she answered the phone. It's answered the iron, you idiot.
Oh, yeah, she answered the iron. Well, it was almost good.
Oh, yeah, it was a riot, except you threw out the best part. Answered the phone.
And when she fell off a cliff, she screamed so loud her hands fell off.
What? All right, here is Joan. Joan, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a couple of things to say, but first of
all... Okay, ma'am, you're over 30, correct?
Definitely. I think that it's appalling that you will compare a 31-year-old woman with me, a 68-year-old woman. I am nowhere in their class.
Then you would agree that you're like round steak.
I'm going to tell you this. I think if you want to talk cattle talk, you are less...
I bet you're going to say I'm the butthole of the cow.
That has not been weaned yet. You are not in any way capable of discussing these issues. You are so immature, they need to make sure they give you a tape of your interview, and make sure that your parents and your family members haven't heard it.
Good
that
point.
They sit down with you and listen to your stupidity.
You have been
your
idiotic, R.C.
is appalling.
Ma'am, if I've offended you, I apologize on behalf of the
United
States Marine Corps.
You've offended this country.
I love my country.
You might love it, but Bradley Academy is questionable as to how they're teaching you, your language, your English, your grammar.
I'd love to speak to the commandant of this academy, who is hosting 15-year-old girls in his private... Absolutely. You know what? Have you got a minute, Joan?
Yes.
You stay on the line with me. R.C., you stay on the line. Craig, go in the other room and get the number of Commandant Wireman at the Military Academy. I would like to get him on the line and do a three-way conversation.
Mr. Henry, I don't think that's necessary.
No, we're going to do it. If you got the guts you say you've got, you can face the Commandant.
Sir, I've been on here trying to defend the women of this country, and I never said the one thing I could have said, that Jean's so old, she's going to be buried in a crock pot. I didn't say that.
Okay, hold on for a minute.
What kind of family are you from that you couldn't say that? You shouldn't even dream of making an analogy like that.
Okay, hold on.
You're not fit to be on this program.
Joan, hold on. Is this Commandant Wireman?
Yes, Harvey Wireman.
And Mr. Wireman, are you the Commandant at...
Bradley Military Academy, yes, sir.
Commandant Wireman, this is Cadet R.C. Collins.
How are you, Cadet?
Fine, sir.
What can I do for you, Mr. Henry?
We have a caller on the line, Joan. You wanted to express some complaints, correct, Joan?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Have you been listening to this program?
I have not, unfortunately. We are preparing for the Commandant's Ball.
Excuse me. I think you need to request a tape of your young man's interview. His analogy of the women in America as cattle, filet mignon, sirloin steak, flank steak, and breaking them off in categories.
Yes, ma'am.
And his language, his
language,
grammar
may
is
I
so
ask?
Appalling that I wonder what Bradley's doing.
What language is he?
I'm sorry, now listen to you.
Cadet Collins?
Yes, sir.
You do not use language unbefitting a cadet of the Bradley Military Academy to one of the women of our nation. That's number one. And you have compared women to meat. That's number two. You will kiss the gunner's daughter.
Oh, no, sir, please.
Yes, you will kiss...
What's kiss the gunner's daughter?
He'll be laid over a cannon, and he will be, we use the old Naval Academy flogging, and he will be beaten.
Sir, I don't think...
Yeah, see what you did, Joan? Thanks a lot.
No,
no, Joan,
you did it.
No, Joan, you didn't do anything wrong. You'll kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below, Mr. Henry, with, for the makings. Now then...
What do you mean, take him below? I'm doing a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Joan?
Yes?
Joan, yes, this is Commandant Wireman. God bless you and the great service you've done to
he's
our nation.
He's been doing it to the entire American population, men
oh,
and women.
Oh, please, I don't want to kiss the gunner's daughter. You'll kiss the gunner's daughter.
What is kiss the gunner's daughter?
That's, the gunner is a nickname for my rear end, and his backside will bleed tonight. I can Joan, are you there?
I'm here. I'm not requesting anything like that, but I think you need to know that.
I'm going
to
beat him until the skin's flayed off of his buttocle area.
I don't know that that's
no,
a legal
ma'am.
Thing to
we
do.
Must. We must. It is legal when the parents turn their children over to us at Bradley. We're a private military installation.
Well, he's been bragging about his father's being very rich.
Well, I know his father is very wealthy.
And
he's a member.
Some people there that are his friend, his homemates have been pulled up by their bootstraps. And he's making Bradley a laughingstock where...
How dare you?
I wouldn't want my grandson to go there.
Why, you little B-A-S-T-A-R. How do you spell it?
D.
That's right. I can assure you, Joan, he'll be in intensive care by the end of this evening.
Well, I'm not asking for that, but I do think
you need to be aware of
this program and listen to.
I'd like to offer you, Joan, if you'll give us your address, a photograph of the skin flayed from his rear end.
I don't want that. I don't want that, but I do want...
You do not want that.
No,
thank you, Joe. Thank you.
No, yeah, Commandant Wireman, we don't need that, okay?
Commandant.
I would like... And then I would like to kick him in the face and make blood come from his eyes.
Now
please! You wonder more about the academy.
Yeah, exactly.
You were supposed to make me feel better about
what is it that you want, ma'am? Then what is it that you want,
dear? What I want you to do is request a copy of his interview today and listen to it.
All right.
That's what I want to do.
And a copy of the interview
and listen to it. And family listens to it. It's so insulting to him. I mean, this is to hug the young girls, hug the older women a little longer, and then take the young girls, he said, to a champagne dinner and then a reception at your home.
Yes. Well, yes, we have...
Filet mignon.
We have the Commandant's Ball, and then I host one of the young virginal debutantes for a nightcap in my quarters.
That's what he said.
Good God.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know how appropriate that is.
Joan, have you ever
I've wondered about that, but I'm not going to
Joan, have you ever seen the Commandant's balls? I mean, the Commandant ball?
Okay. Joan, thanks very much.
Well, wait a minute. I was just getting to know her.
I got to go. R.C. Collins and the military academies across this country helping to calm women down tomorrow on 9/11. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We are broadcasting from New York City all this week. Tomorrow, of course, 9/11, and we will be at ground zero. Stick around. There's more on The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
This is The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, by the way, the voices there in the preceding bit of R.C. Collins and Commandant Harvey Wireman were performed by me, and the people that call on The Phil Henry Show believe them all to be real people, and in their way they are. And that's how we do our little thing here each and every night, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern, and we're in New York City this week and having a damn good time, I might add. A great time, great city. Great people, sad day tomorrow. They're already taking enormous security precautions around the city. I've seen orange traffic cones. I've seen streets that are blocked off. All the way up to Midtown, they're blocking off streets. And the traffic, as a matter of fact, getting to the giant 49er game on Thursday night, last Thursday night, was particularly difficult because Times Square was hosting Bon Jovi. Took people, I understand, from Midtown Manhattan 3 hours to get down to the Meadowlands for that football game. So there is a little bit of the traffic snarl as far as entertainment goes, and traffic snarl as far as security goes. And we recommend you take the subway and avoid all of it. Don't get in a cab, get in a subway. It seems like you're getting there faster, but you're really not. Yeah, well, you are sort of. You're getting there faster, but you're moving all the time. That's the good thing about the subway. And you're underground, so you don't see everything else. there's nothing to bother you except the guy falling asleep next to you who's like leaning on your shoulder, which I, by the way, for the guy who did that to me today, you're welcome. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. I want you to join me, Phil Henry, live at the Luxor in Las Vegas. We're having the first ever listener party for the Phil Henry Show at the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, September the 27th through the 29th. And that'll be, of course, coming up in just a few weeks. Our weekend is going to kick off Friday night at the Luxor's amazing Raw Nightclub with the Henry Happy Hour and a live broadcast. Then on Saturday night, you'll join me at the Raw Nightclub for the exclusive Blues and Brews party, where you can hang out with me and be entertained by a live blues band. Now, the package is based on double occupancy. It also includes Friday and Saturday night lodging for two at the Luxor, two passes to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum. You'll get free admission into the Raw Nightclub after the party concludes. So when we're done with our broadcast and our happy hour, then the Raw Nightclub opens up, and then you can go in, and then you can continue to go ape and for free. And everybody attending is going to receive a special gift from me as well. The package is worth over $500, but for you it's only $348 based on double occupancy. And I want you to call this number to assure your place with me at the Luxor Las Vegas. It's 1-800-288-1000. That's 1-800-288-1000. Tell them that you want the Phil Henry package. Now, there is a limited number of these packages available, and the VIP party is not a walk-in thing. You have to have a ticket. You have to have an invitation from the package that you purchased to get into the party. By the way, that price of $348 is for two people. You guys understand it, right? Have I been blowing it all this time, not mentioning that? I've been blowing it. Been blowing it big time. But I'm going to stop. $348 for two people to get in. All right, 1-800-288-1000. That's 1-800-288-1000. There are a limited number of packages, so make your reservations now for our big party there at the Raw Nightclub. It's going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to be much-needed rest and relaxation, I'm sure, from all of this tension that we're all living through, all of this insanity that we're all living through, getting back to a little bit of that kind of pre-9/11 life. Well, I know we can't roll the clock 100% back, but maybe, you know, just a little bit. And let me just, you know, like, you can have a good time. Don't worry about it, okay? Let me do all the worrying, will you please? Okay, and don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. The Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is available there. Our Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirts available there. All of our best of CDs are available there. The Best of the Phil Henry Show from 97 through 2001. Don't forget, we've got another CD coming out this year, which we think, because of all of the fantastic material of the past year, we may have been maybe like a two-sider or one of them double CD three thing. I don't know how to do it. You know, whatever, a two-sider. Maybe we'll come out with like a vinyl record. It'll be a two-sider. Okay, so that's that, and go to philhenryshow.com for all of that. All the money we raise for our CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Stay tuned. There's more. Ted Bell is coming up. Bobby Dooley coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686 is the number. 1-800-449-8686 is the number on The Phil Henry Show. Bobby, today we have a caller, Bobby, from where?
Western Estates.
Western Estates. And Bobby, you do not believe this orange alert? You do not believe this high state of alert today?
Phil, I think the alert is, I got to tell you something. I've been a lifelong Republican. My husband's been a lifelong Republican. And I think I know the president pretty well. And I think that, I have to tell you, I laughed. And Steve,
I laughed too.
When we heard about the alert, we knew what the president was thinking.
Well, what was he Okay, the president of the United States... John Ashcroft.
Well, John Ashcroft, Phil, is a member of the cabinet, and so is Tom Ridgway. They are all members of George Bush's cabinet, so they have to do what, you know, what they're told. But I guess the message that I want to send, my husband really believes, And I really believe that this so-called high alert is a little bit of the president trying to have some fun. It's a very tense time in our country. And I really think that what we need to do is, I just think it's amazing the sense of humor that this man...
Wait, I want to jump in here. Are you saying the president's kidding?
With the
state of high alert?
Oh, Phil, I absolutely...
There's no doubt.
There's no doubt.
Why?
Well, Steve, you were talking...
Phil, because there's no way with the attack on a day would be an expected attack.
My husband believes, Phil, that no way would the terrorists attack on a day that we expected them to attack. So obviously, they're not going to attack because we'd be expecting it. And this high alert is, I think, is just absolutely wonderful. I mean, it is really a hoot.
It's a hoot. I mean, we're talking...
Well, Phil, hold on for a minute. Try to get your ego out of the way. Try to get your panic out of the way. And
you know, there are a lot of people out there, a lot of Americans who take this very seriously.
And what I'm trying to say is, get your panic, get your fear, get your paranoia out of the way, and understand this is a ball. The President of the United States obviously believing that there is too much tension in this country is having some fun with us.
And you expect people to believe that this orange alert, that this high alert status is a joke?
No, we don't really.
No, we don't, Mr. Henry. We know everybody's going to take it serious.
No, we know that everyone's going to take it seriously. Phil, I know you're in New York, and bless your heart for that, Phil. But let the air between your ears out. See what a gas this is.
This is a total gas. President's kidding.
Well, I don't think it's funny to if the president's kidding... I don't think it's funny that he does this a day before 9/11.
Well, I think that your inability to go with the flow, to be spontaneous, and I think that's what the American people are going to have to live through. Everybody's going to be tense tomorrow because everybody's buying this. It is absolutely a scream. And what we're going to do tomorrow is we have got a little bit of a day plan. We're going out and getting daiquiri mix. We're going to get some party mix. And we're going to go down. Where's Steve?
Well, we'll go down to the family room. We got a big screen TV.
We have a big screen TV in our family room. It's going to be a scream. And the fact of the matter is, I worked as a waitress at a comedy club, so I think I can see a joke coming a mile away. And I think it's only right that the president come out and say he's joking before a lot of people get embarrassed.
Well, if the president of the United States is joking, then shame on him for doing this.
No, I disagree with that.
Well, you said he should come out and say that he's joking before a lot of people get embarrassed.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to look absolutely stupid tomorrow, saying, oh, my God, we're on high alert. Oh, I better go to the bomb shelter. Oh, I better, you know, do this or I better do that. A lot of people are going to look really foolish.
Why would the president do this?
Steve, do you want to take that one?
You go ahead and take it.
Phil, my husband doesn't really know why, but we are in on it. We get it. I mean, first of all, the tip-off is orange alert. Ooh, what a scary...
Yeah, that's the tip-off, orange alert. That's so scary.
You see? Phil, do you understand? If there's really danger... Steve, go ahead and tell him.
Mr. Henry, if there's really danger, then it's a red alert. It's not orange.
It's generally a red alert.
And all right, so the president...
Orange is not a scary color. And the other thing is, I think it's been hard to keep a straight face through all of this.
We have had a terror attack on 9/11 of September 11th of last year. Why couldn't we have another attack on the anniversary?
Because they know we'd be expecting that's the stupidest time they'd ever do it.
We're not going to let some our sons be made to look like utter asses. So we called the school and told them whatever security precautions they're taking, our boys are not going to be a part of it.
All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley, a couple from Western Estates. Maybe you agree with them, maybe you don't. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Their theory basically being that the president sees the tension and the pressure that the country's under, and he decided to issue an orange alert or a high alert as a joke to break the tension. I don't see how that breaks tension.
Because when you finally say, I'm only joking. Everyone lets out a sigh of relief.
Well, it takes the pressure off.
It takes the pressure off. And I think it is absolutely a scream. Just hilarious when you look at all the people that take this seriously. Steve and I, first of all, my husband worked as a busboy at the Improv, and I was there as a cocktail waitress for a lot of years. So we saw a lot of comedy. We saw a lot of comics.
I worked the 5 o'clock show, the dinner.
He worked the early bird special, and I did a lot of the bar service. We saw a lot of comics come and go. We know comedy. And let me tell you something. This is absolutely hilarious.
And you call yourselves good Republicans to say that the President of the United States...
Look, Mr. Henry, the President is speaking from Ellis Island to the Nation of All Right, right?
Yes.
Well, you watch. At the end, he'll do the blow line, which is, I'm only kidding.
Well, I don't think he's going to do that. That would be an absolute disgrace, and they'd probably call for his impeachment just on general principles.
Well, Phil, look at it. The country has gone through an unprecedented attack. The country is filled with fear. Why wouldn't the president take this opportunity? I mean, we get it. You don't get it? In other words, you're saying you don't get it.
I don't know. If it's a joke, I don't get it.
Well, we do.
We get it. I mean, it's funny, and it does take a lot to understand, but we definitely get it.
And that's why, as lifelong Republicans, we're probably in a better position. I think you're a Democrat, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, I don't think you did.
No, Democrats are not going to get it, and Democrats...
Well, I don't think it's in good taste. For the president to have the Cabinet of the United States, Ridgeway, and for Ashcroft to do that as a big, fat joke...
Again, Phil, Bush comes from a comedy background. Before he was president, I mean, look at his father. I'm joking, of course, but I'm saying...
As a lifelong Republican, you're making fun of his dad?
No, what I'm saying is, I really feel sorry for all of the people out there that are taking this orange alert seriously.
But we're going to get some entertainment out of it.
We are. We've got Party Mix. We've got Daiquiri Mix. We're inviting some friends over. It's going to be fun.
Tomorrow we memorialize 3,000 people.
No, not that part, Phil. That's sad. I'm talking about the high security alert. That's a hoot.
You don't buy it.
We don't buy it at all, no.
No, Mr. Henry, not this time.
Not this time, no. We've been through enough. No, thank you. Thanks very much, but no thanks. This is not anything more than one big yank. And you'll see tomorrow.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I've heard a lot of things in my life, and some of them come true. You know, the Kennedy, you know, more than one assassin. Basically, the theory here is that this orange alert, this high security alert that the country is under, is a joke. That President Bush has essentially played this joke to try to break the tension, and that tomorrow he is going to let us all know there really isn't any high alert. Now, on the side of the dualies is the fact over the last year there has not been one terror attack, there has not been one incident at all of any kind of terrorist activity in this country. So why should we suspect any tomorrow? Well, I can answer that question. We should suspect some tomorrow because it's an anniversary date. They're saying that they would never attempt to attack us on that date because we're expecting it. So she thinks it's a joke, he thinks it's a joke, and they're going to kick back tomorrow and have themselves one big laugh. 1-800-449-8686. Do you think it's possible President Bush is kidding with us just to break the tension? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
+1 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Again.
Well, I just think it's possible.
I don't think the President of the United States would be in such bad taste to panic people.
No, Phil, it's not panicking people. I think we all can get a kick. Haven't you ever jumped out from behind a door and gone boo and scared someone?
This is a bad time to do that. This is not a good time to do that.
then why do Steve and I think it's funny? And why do friends of ours think it's funny? I think it's a hoot. For us to be so somber and so sad about this terrible day tomorrow, and for us to be able to say, oh my God, that is a scream. He has the country on high alert. Everybody...
Yeah, I understand. Everybody's crapping a green brick.
Well, I think that's pretty offensive, too.
Well, but everyone's tense. And then he says, we're joking. We wanted to break the tension.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western Estates, California.
Again, Phil, the tip is orange alert. Orange is not a serious color. Clowns use it. Orange is used for parties, for children. Clowns use it all the time to be funny. It's not serious.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Is President Bush joking about tomorrow's, about this orange alert the country is under, this high security alert? Here
Bobby
is Jenny. Jenny Lee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi. I have to tell you, Bobby, first of all, it could only be from somebody who's from California that would be so ignorant.
That's so predictable.
As to even remotely mock tomorrow.
Very predictable.
What? Excuse me, but you don't need to have lost anybody to have a modicum of respect for the people who died yet tomorrow.
I don't have any disrespect for them. I'm talking about the high,
security
alert.
A couple of cocktails.
No.
And not even George Bush would have that poor of taste, Republican or otherwise, to do something to the millions of people that did experience this 1 year ago today.
Oh,
to the
look,
thousands
Jenny,
of people that lost a family member.
You ought to be happy. Are you dead? No, you're not dead. So you can live through
right,
a little
I'm
joke.
Not dead.
You can
you
take
know
a joke.
Sweetheart, I didn't
Can't you take a joke?
That.
Can't you take a joke?
It's,
Can't
no,
you take a little joke?
Not when 3,000 people died and anyone stupid enough to even think that this would be funny.
Absolutely.
Phil, first of all,
Bobby,
I'm not making fun of the people
what?
That died. I'm saying the high security alert, the terror alert, is a scream because they're not going to attack tomorrow.
Why
No, you're
not?
Right, but isn't it better to be safe than sorry than to allow ourselves to be possibly even the remotest chance as susceptible as we were 1 year ago today? If putting us on this alert is just enough to tell them, don't mess with us again, at least not today.
Are you running for public office?
One life.
Then are you
I'm damn glad for the clown yellow, orange, pink, or polka dot. And I'm
oh
ashamed
my God.
To say that
pink or
you
polka
people
dot.
Will buy a cocktail mix to celebrate this.
It'll make the victims' families laugh for once and
no,
have comedy in their lives. When President Bush says,
if they're Americans related to you.
How is that going to make the victims' families feel better?
When President Bush says, by the way, the orange alert is just a joke. And
that
we heave a sigh.
Mocking every
we heave a sigh of relief.
Yes, I agree.
That would be a mockery to those people, and shame on you.
Excuse me, Jenny, but I used to work in a comedy club. I know comedy. I know comedy. Okay,
well,
this is very Cosby-esque.
It's not comical a year ago today.
This is Seinfeld-esque.
And I don't think 3,000 people's families
right.
thought it was really funny to not
I'm
be
not
able to bury so much as a gold tooth.
You know, you don't even stick to the point, do you? I'm
the
not talking about that.
You're mocking
I'm talking about
one of the most
orange.
Important dates that will
the color
ever be in history.
The color orange is really funny. And
look at Bobby. You got a lot of people thinking you're making fun of 9/11.
I'm not.
Well, the fact that you're making fun of this terror alert, they automatically think you're making fun of 9/11.
See how people are unsophisticated?
George Bush
it's very Frasier-esque.
Said that 9/11... this year was simply a mockery. Excuse me, he wouldn't use that word, would he? He'd be better taste than that. He'd make sure his father helped him with his report and that everything he said was to letter perfect, that it didn't offend anyone except to say that, gosh, I was just trying to add a slight bit of levity to an otherwise horrible situation.
The Amber Alert is a joke. He'll put one of those arrow through the head things on, and he'll go, whoops, it's a gag.
Be done tomorrow that
no, he's not
going to
do that, okay?
The severity of what happened to these families. The only levity anyone is going to have is called time.
You know, Jenny, you're the kind of woman that'll take down a
George Bush could
take down a pregnant woman thinking she's packing.
Them each a
all right, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Lord, here is Brian on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, Phil.
All right, let's go over to Christy. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Christy.
Yeah.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Okay, well, I was just going to say that for a fellow American to think that President Bush would make a joke about something as sad as what happened on September 11th is just sick.
Bobby, see, this is what happened, okay? People think you're making fun of 9/11.
It shows you how stupid they are. I never did make fun of 9/11.
Yeah,
I'm making fun of the Orange Alert.
I
made fun of the Orange Alert, but I guess you don't know what that is. If you open up a newspaper, it'll tell you all about it.
I do know what an Orange Alert is. I'm not stupid.
What is it?
But I'm just saying
What is it?
It's right below the extreme alert. The hell I don't know what it is.
Okay, that's what I'm making fun of.
If you want to worry about anything tomorrow, granted, I don't think they know that we should change anything what we're doing. I'm going to go about my day just like a regular would. Hell, I'd even come over and drink margaritas with you. But
I bet you believe that it's the Orange Alert.
Will you let her finish?
No kidding.
Do you believe in an Orange Alert?
Americans, that we've got to fear more than anybody else. It's not going to be some towel-wearing guy from Afghanistan. It's going to be some idiot who wants to get on the news that we've got to worry about.
Do you believe in an Orange Alert?
What is it with the Orange Alert? Yes, I know what an Orange Alert is.
Isn't that dumb sounding?
Orange Alert
is dumb sounding at all. I think it's a warning.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to go Orange Alert, Orange Alert. What does that mean?
What color would satisfy you to make sure that it was a good alert?
Christy, I think red alert. Red alert is what they usually say, not orange alert. It's a joke. Don't you get it? A joke.
So what do you think is coming? Tomorrow, President Bush is going to go, I was just kidding. Don't worry about a terrorist attack.
Yes, yes. And when he does, you will feel, won't you feel like the horse's ass?
No, I won't.
All right, look, I believe it's going to happen. Absolutely. I believe it's going to happen. A lot of people believe that it's not. I believe, you know.
I'm so sure Captain Kirk would tell Spock, we're at orange alert. Have you ever in your life heard anything like that? Anita Bryant hawked oranges, and what happened to her? A pie in the face. What's a pie? Funny. Pie.
Okay,
joke.
Well, let's
orange.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. So tomorrow's orange alert is supposed to be and it ain't tomorrow. It's an orange alert. Does anybody even know what the hell Bobby's talking about? I barely know what she's talking about. We're on a high terror alert, which Bobby thinks is a big joke. She thinks the president's kidding because there's so much tension surrounding this anniversary date coming up. And the tip-off? It's an orange alert. If he was serious, it would be a red alert. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley, number 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley on with us from Western Estates, California. I think you owe an apology to the listening audience because...
Well, Phil, let me just jump in, if I could.
What?
Well, we're not making fun of the families that lost relatives. We're not making fun of the victims of 9/11. I would never do that. I'm a mother. I have three sons. Upon the ground that they walk, I worship the ground upon which that they walk.
We have three sons.
I understand that.
And I would never, ever make fun of people who lost family at 9/11. And I think people that called in and thought I was making fun of the 9/11 were misunderstanding me.
Well, then what were you talking about?
I was saying that 9/11 was interesting and will be fun to watch, but I didn't mean to say...
Well, don't you understand that that sounds like you're making fun? How can you say you're going to go and get daiquiri mix, party mix, and make cocktails and watch the 9/11 coverage? People think you're being glib.
Phil, no. And if they think that, they misunderstood, and I want to apologize. We would never disrespect. But we live in California. We're far away from New York. And my husband's taking the day off from work. We're going to have our big screen TV on. We've invited friends over. We are going to make some drinks.
We're going to have a barbecue.
But we don't mean any disrespect.
You know, cocktails, barbecue, party mix, big screen TV.
Yeah, and your point is what?
My point is, it sounds like a party.
No, it is not. And if that's what you think, I apologize. But you're absolutely misunderstanding. The reason why we bought the orange balloons was because we are on an orange alert. And
so let me get this straight. Balloons, barbecue. What are you cooking at the barbecue?
Oh, I don't know. Steve, what are you?
We're at Frankfurters.
Frankfurters.
Okay. Barbecue, Frankfurters, orange balloons, daiquiris, party mix. Is there anybody in my audience that doesn't, does this sound to you like they're having a party or not?
Phil, I think this is so unfair.
No, I just want to give our number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You have tried to dig yourself out from under the rubble of saying that it was a real hoot tomorrow.
No, we're just saying that the coverage would be interesting.
And then you said you're going to have orange chicken from the local China food joint.
Because of the orange alert.
Yeah. Isn't that a party?
Phil, again, if it sounds like we're having a party, if it sounds like we're disrespecting, we apologize, but I really think you're misunderstanding.
You're misunderstanding. We have three sons, and we would never want them to die in no Twin Tower.
Phil, if I lost my sons tomorrow, I can assure you, I would never be the same.
Well, keep in mind there are a lot of people who are like that, okay? But you're having orange chicken, orange balloons, cooking Frankfurters, a widescreen TV. You're having your friends in. You're going to have daiquiri mix. And then you mentioned, why the pool party?
Because our pool's heated. We heated the pool for tomorrow.
You heated the pool for tomorrow?
Why are you getting so upset?
I can't have somebody say to me, we're not having a party. You've heated your pool. Now you're having orange balloons, orange chicken, Frankfurters, big screen TV. 9/11 was a sad day.
Phil, you do not have to remind me of that. I know how sad it was. I couldn't take my eyes off of the TV set. The fact that we're having sun-kissed orange soda simply marks up...
Yeah, the orange alert thing. But the orange-kissed, sun-kissed...
Jesus H, calm down.
You know, you're really getting apoplectic.
Jesus H, calm down.
Why don't you calm down?
I'm calm.
Jesus.
I'm calm. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I feel bad. You guys are glib. You guys are being silly. You're being disrespectful.
No, and if that is coming across that way...
Mr. Henry, that's the farthest thing from our mind. And if we've been disrespectful, we apologize.
We want to apologize on behalf of the Dooley family, the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and we never wanted to hurt anybody from those families that lost loved ones at 9/11. But there's nothing wrong with heating our pool and having Frankfurters. We just thought we'd have some fun.
But not really have fun.
But not really have fun.
I'm up for re-election as president of Western Estates. If I want to have a few people over for a get-together, you know.
You will.
Yeah, we'll have fun, but keep in mind, I'm not misunderstanding anything.
I don't know where you get the idea of a party.
Orange balloons.
Yeah, and?
Do you have balloons at a funeral?
My uncle did.
For Steve's uncle, he had balloons.
At his funeral?
At his cremation.
What about orange soda? What about Frankfurters? What about a barbecue?
Had a clown at his funeral.
They had a clown at Steve's uncle's funeral.
And it wasn't a party.
We got drunk, but it wasn't a party.
Good luck. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, it is the Phil Henry Show. That was me doing the voice of Bobby Dooley and the voice of Steve Bozell and Steve Dooley And I used to do the voice of Steve Bozell as well on this next bit. Steve Bozell from yesterday's show complaining that 9/11 falls on his birthday, and it's kind of forevermore made his birthday a sad day.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay, I would like this person, I can't say gentleman, I'd like this person to give me his definition of the word fraud. What do you think fraud means?
Fraud, ma'am, is when you are telling people who understand what you're saying one thing when you mean something else. But these are people that are not 100% upstairs. And I would rather have them to believe
that. The only person that's not upstairs is you. And I hope that somebody alerts the authorities, because this is worse than fraud.
Wait a second. That's slander.
You're taking advantage of people who cannot speak up for themselves. That's 10 times worse than taking advantage of people who do know what you're doing. How dare you?
Let me ask you something. If somebody is stupid enough to believe that a football field in suburban Pittsburgh is where Flight 93 crashed, is that my fault?
It is your fault, because what you're doing is you are taking advantage of the fact that these people don't know better. I mean, I can't think of anything disgusting enough to call you. There's not a word yet that signifies what it is that you're doing to people.
What are you doing to celebrate 9/11?
Well, I agree with the lady.
Well, hold on. What are you doing, Mr. Henry?
I'm going to New York, and I'm not celebrating 9/11. It's a memorial. I'll be remembering, okay?
What's this lady doing? I bet she's not doing anything. At least I'm those people on that, those retard, not the retard, if you want to use that word.
Okay, well,
whatever they're called.
Okay, because you're just too disgusting. You shouldn't even be given any airtime.
Those people
they should get you off the air right now and call the authorities immediately. This is worse than fraud.
You people wouldn't be so judgmental if you could
see. And I'll tell you what, I just hope everybody gets what they deserve at some point in time.
You people wouldn't be so judgmental if you could see the smiles on these people's faces, the sounds of them beating their chests on the way home. And
what do you mean, beating their chests?
Well, a lot of them can't talk, so they hit their chest with their wrist.
And
oh, my God.
That sounds,
you know, something,
really great, huh?
This is fraud. We have to call the authorities.
All right.
I don't even know where this guy is exactly, but the police need to be called.
For what?
The Attorney General needs to be called.
For what?
Because you are committing a fraud. You're a fraud, and not only that, but you're disgusting.
Okay,
and people don't know any better. Talk about taking advantage, my God almighty. Do you kick little kittens in the street when you see them too for fun?
Oh, I see. That's exactly what it is, kicking a kitten into the street. I take a guy to a patch of ground in Pennsylvania, so it's not exactly the place where Flight 93 went down. Maybe it was a few miles to the south.
It's a fraud.
Wait a minute. What do you mean?
What else could you possibly rationalize?
What do you mean a West Coast crash site?
I hope the authorities come after you. How dare you?
What do you mean a West Coast crash site?
We are setting up a Flight 93 crash site in California.
How are you going to do that?
It's a site that looks like the one in Pennsylvania, so you don't have to go all the way over there.
How dare you?
What do you mean, how dare I?
How dare you?
Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from?
Where am I calling from?
Yeah.
No place that would ever have... I mean, I can't even tell
you.
I'm going to hang up. Thank you very much.
We'll put one down in Pompano Beach, too. We'll have several Flight 93 crash sites.
Yeah, okay, I'll go out and see that. I bet you'll have the police tape around it.
Just like Universal Studios.
What a sick, twisted piece of crap.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, okay, now, the Steve Bozell from yesterday. Here it is.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
To think that the people that have birthdays on 9/11 are suffering anything like the veterans of the Vietnam War or the people that died in that war is absolutely, just like your previous caller said, absolutely ridiculous and childish.
No, ma'am.
Grow up, guys. Grow up. You didn't lose anybody in that.
No,
you didn't lose anybody on
9/11. Okay, what about the little children that have birthdays on 9/11? They don't get to have no fun. What about them?
What about the children that have birthdays on the day that we remember Pearl Harbor?
I lost my birthday. It'll never be fun again.
Boo-hoo, you lost your birthday. You lost your birthday, and America lost its pride.
What's wrong?
Now, which one is more important?
Ma'am, these Arabs stole my birthday.
Don't talk to me about what the Arabs have done.
They stole my birthday.
Oh, boo-hoo. Good God, man. Grow up.
Ma'am.
It has absolutely nothing to do with your birthday.
First of all, they didn't steal our pride. America still has a great deal of pride, so I think I have more faith in this country than you do. Secondly, I got 2.5 friends that are Vietnam vets, and they also think that the birthday war was a good idea.
What do you mean, 2.5 friends?
One of them had his legs amputated. Because
of
the Vietnam
war. God, and you tell me
Jesus!
That is amazing. You think that one person that doesn't have his legs is half a person? Who are you?
You know, that is an unbelievably insensitive...
I was just joking around.
Joking around, huh? You want to joke around like that in front of your friend?
Okay, so now what are you saying? I'm an ass?
Yeah! 2.5 friends, huh?
If President Bush doesn't make special mention of our birthday, I'm tempted to sue for funding for lost specialty of life. Now,
this guy for real? Is this
Look
a
at the,
real
Mr.
person,
Bozell,
or are you just joking?
Yeah, are you for real, sir? Are you for real?
I talked to your producer.
I mean, I saw the article in the Washington Post. This guy's got a thing, but I don't know whether you're serious or not.
All I'm trying to say is...
And you call him half of a friend, the guy with no legs.
We call him Stubby, okay? And he doesn't seem to think it's so bad.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
Listen to you laughing about a man with no legs.
9/11, and you are realizing the Vietnam War.
Let me just say something to you. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy
What are you crying?
Celebrate your birthday, sir. But
happy birthday, dear Steve.
What about all the kids that were born on the day we remember Pearl Harbor? Are they suffering?
Who cares about Pearl Harbor? Nobody even remembers that.
I see. So since
who remembers Pearl Harbor?
Your generation, it doesn't matter.
Think about it. Anybody born on Pearl Harbor Day is like over 60 years old. That's like, forget it.
Oh, okay. So we'll sing Happy Birthday to Me. And while we're on the subject... When was your guy with no legs born?
He was born on 9/11.
All right, well, why don't we sing Happy Birthday to Stubby, too?
Happy Birthday to Stubby.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
All right, now we're up to date. So that was yesterday. That other one was Bob McGraw from I don't know when. 1-800-449-8686. That's a couple of flashbacks from preceding shows. Phil Henry Show here live in New York. That was me doing the voice of Bob McGraw. That was me doing the voice of Steve Bozell. That was me doing the voice of Steve Dooley. That was me doing the voice of Bobby Dooley. That was me doing my own voice. That's how we do this show. Ain't it weird? And I'm not even from the Netherlands. You know, Austin Powers. I'm Dutch. Ain't that weird? Did you see Austin? You didn't see Austin Powers? It wasn't a big thing. It wasn't all that good. No, he's got the gold member is Dutch. I'm Dutch. Isn't that weird? You know, the reason why I know that line is my kids won't shut up about it. Every day through the house, I'm Dutch. Isn't that weird? Gold member's Dutch, see? And he's got a gold tooth, and he's likes to eat his peeling skin. Real, real twisted, but funnier than hell. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's a little bit of news that cheered my heart. Detectives are investigating a complaint that retired astronaut Buzz Aldrin punched a man in the face after being asked to swear on a Bible that he'd been on the moon. Good for you, Buzz. Officers were called on Monday to the Lux Hotel on Rodeo Drive. Is this in Hollywood? Yeah, Beverly Hills. And took a report from Bart Stribble or Sibble or Dribble, some jackass, who said he was attacked by the former Apollo 11 astronaut. Oh, really? That's too bad. Aldrin, 72, had left the hotel when police arrived about 4:30 in the afternoon and was not interviewed. Stribble, or Drivel, he's from Nashville, Tennessee, said he does not believe Aldrin or anyone else has ever walked on the moon. Gee, that's too bad. He said he was trying to confront Aldrin about his 1969 lunar mission when he was punched. The incident was videotaped, he said. I hope that it was videotaped. I'd like to rent it out, and I'd like to sell it, and I'd like to give all of the proceeds to Buzz Aldrin. To see some jackass, you know, it's enough to hear people talking about how they don't believe in the moon landing. That's, you know, you got to put up with that. But when somebody actually dukes it out, when someone just actually clocks a guy that doesn't believe it, that's a long time coming. And this is a guy that's 72 who punched out some 37-year-old guy. Of course, Buzz Aldrin ain't no, this guy's a former Korean War ace, Korean War fighter pilot. Guy flew to the moon. I think he could take care of some guy named Dribble from Nashville. I would love to do that. Everybody that doesn't believe that we landed on the moon, everybody that thinks that 9/11 was an American plot, everybody that thinks that the Challenger was an American plot, everybody that thinks that Kennedy was killed by elements of, Trilateral Commission, I'd like to line them all up and deck every one of them one at a time. That's the one thing you guys have been needing. Just a good, solid, just clock them. God! Have to get in line with Chris?
Get in line, Chris. He's gonna punch him first.
Oh, you mean Chris believes all that stuff? By the way, Yoko Ono says, let's give peace a chance. Hey, Yoko, it ain't up to us anymore, honey. It's a whole new world. One of the things that's changed after 9/11, that whole give peace a chance, it ain't up to us anymore. You want to ask somebody to give peace a chance, you fly on down there to Riyadh or wherever the hell the Saudi Arabian capital is, go down there, go over there to wherever the rest of those guys crawl around in the sand, and go tell them to give peace a chance. John Lennon, nice guy. You know, the Beatles, tops in my book. Made some nice music 30 years ago, 32 years ago. That's a long time. You know, it's over, man. Sometimes you give peace a chance, and sometimes you give war a chance. My feeling is we should give war a chance. Right now, I think we ought to give war a chance, because war, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, it actually solves problems. It actually can solve a few problems. So all we're saying is, let's give those ICBMs a chance. But seriously, it ain't up to us. I mean, you know, we tried. We tried, we failed. Now it's goodbye, Bin, who, by the way, is heard on videotape fingering a bunch of the guys in Al-Qaeda. Nice going, Bin. Nice way to keep your mouth shut. Here's this guy, this is Bin Laden, he's the head of Al-Qaeda, the biggest criminal organization in the history of the world, and this guy's heard on videotape fingering like 8-9 guys. Yeah, okay, if the FBI didn't know it then, they know it now, thanks to Bin. Talk about a stoolie, along with everything else. Don't forget our trip to Las Vegas. It's going to be happening the 27th through the 29th. Call the following number, 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000, ask for the Phil Henry Show package, 1-800-288-1000, ask for the Phil Henry Show package. It's the Phil Henry Show, back in a few minutes.
Show
1-800-449-8686. Wait a minute. Wait a second. What happened? I pushed the wrong one. What happened to my? Oh, you know what, dude? Hi, everybody. This is the Phil Henry Show. Pardon me. What I just had there was the sound of the crack of a bat, and I didn't want to hear it. Well, gee whiz. I'm looking. Tell Ted to hang on. I'm looking for Ted's of Beverly Hills, which is a paid sponsor of our program, and I have completely butchered the open to this hour. There hasn't been too many hours that we've butchered the open to. We've butchered a few hours, but generally, it's number 59. Thanks, Craig. Okay, here we go. Sorry, Ted, and we'll get to you in just a second. This is The Phil Henry Show.
Good God.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
All right, well, Phil, thank you very much. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I know tomorrow is a very frightening day for a lot of people, but you'll never be safer anywhere than at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm not paying for the spot.
I apologize, all right?
I'm sorry.
I apologize for that, Ted. And we just we're doing a remote broadcast from New York City.
No, I understand that, Phil, and I'm kidding you. And I want to make a statement. We're broadcasting from New York. We appreciate that so much. All of us across the country, we thank you for being in New York City, Phil, and bringing us the sights and the sounds of this anniversary of a very, very sad day.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it has been my pleasure to be in New York. I wanted to talk to you, Ted, about what you're planning for 9/11 at your restaurant, because people have been talking about the commercialization of 9/11.
I know what you're saying, Phil. I think commercializing anything as tragic as what happened on 9/11 is a sad thing. Now, having said that, I am featuring some specials tomorrow at my restaurant, but I don't want to be lumped into the same category with a lot of the restaurateurs. Many of them, by the way, some steakhouses in and around the Southern California area that I think have lowered themselves, literally are crawling on their bellies for a dollar, have lowered themselves to commercializing 9/11.
What have you seen as examples of commercializing 9/11?
Well, I see ads with the flag waving. I see, come on in and have a, you know, in memory of the families, have an omelet. I think that's ridiculous. And what we're doing at Ted's, I think, is a little something special. What we're telling people is, you might be frightened, and tomorrow may be a particularly nerve-wracking day. But we invite you to spend the day with Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills, because we believe there's one place you can be 100% sure that you'll be safe, and that's Ted's of Beverly Hills. Let me tell you something. If Disneyland is the happiest place in the world, Ted's of Beverly Hills is the safest place in the world tomorrow. We're going to be serving our great clam chowder, of course, we'll have our wonderful steaks, the longhorns with the sirloin. But there isn't. This really isn't about the food, Phil. It's about personal safety.
All right. So your restaurant is going to have an inordinate amount of security. Is that it?
Well, yes, we will have armed security. Our parking lot will be video monitored. We're going to have. We'll be checking handbags at the door. We do have a metal detector set up just outside in the foyer area, and we also will have people working undercover as diners. So the people that you see sitting around you having dinner at Ted's of Beverly Hills tomorrow may not be actual diners. They could be members of our security detail as undercover. One of the things that no other restaurant will be doing, we will have guards in the kitchen. And this sounds probably crazier than it really is. We're going to have guards in the kitchen making sure nobody is poisoning the food, even though these guys have worked for me for years. We are, in other words, Phil, doing everything we can to make it the safest place to be tomorrow, Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
All right, let me ask you a question. Why do you think your restaurant will be targeted by terrorists to the point that you...
Well, it's a good question, Phil, to the point that we're doing the security?
Yes.
Well, we are in Beverly Hills, California. A very large population of Saudi Arabians have moved into the Beverly Hills area and have taken up residence in some very swank homes. That is perhaps remote, but we do have an awful lot of these Saudis moving in. They got a lot of money. They're trying to impress. I guess they think they want to be Americans. I don't know what they're doing, but there's a lot of them sitting in Beverly Hills, and I'm not taking any chances with them. I'll tell you this right now, Phil. I'm a public establishment. Everybody's welcome here, but I don't like them. I've never liked these Saudi Arabians. I've never liked any of these Arabs that have moved into Beverly Hills and have turned this town. It used to be a class town, and now it's just a lot of these guys are driving their Rolls Royces. We also, by the way, have a food taster, and I guess you can say if he's still alive, the food's okay to serve. So we're doing an awful lot of things.
And you're not commercializing. I noticed that you've raised your prices, though, okay?
All right, I wanted to get to that.
Why have you raised your prices for that day only?
All right, I wanted to get to that, and I want to explain that. First of all, the cost of security it has to be offset.
I understand.
And secondly, we're putting a tennis court in, and we are going to put that money into a fund. We will not dip into that fund for a year. That's 1 year. After 1 year, we will use some of that money to put the tennis court in. As you know, it's been a lifelong dream for Carrie and I to have a tennis court, and we are going to use a little bit of that money. We wanted to do something for our son who has suffered so long with arthritis. My son has juvenile arthritis, so we wanted to do something special.
All right, this is where...
Phil, please watch it. You're talking about my son, though.
No, but seriously, this is where it bothers me a little bit. You're raising your prices on 9/11 while... The reason why you're raising your prices is...
Phil, don't go there, because you're going to say that I'm commercializing.
Yes, you're commercializing.
Phil, we are using the best security. I got three guys who work for who do the Snoop Dogg concerts. I got... I don't know what you're saying.
I think you're commercializing it because you're raising money for a tennis court, and you're raising prices on 9/11.
I think you're being unfair. I really do.
No, I don't think I am. As much as your little boy needs that tennis court to get some his physical exercise, raising the prices on 9/11, are the prices going to be raised the rest of the week?
We are going to take the opportunity to make this a long weekend, yes. But as of Monday, they will return to normal prices.
You're starting to raise your prices on 9/11. This is the problem that I'm having. Hold on, Ted.
I think it's unfair, though, that you characterize it that way.
All right, hold on, Ted. 1-800-449-8686. Now, do you see, folks, here's the thing.
Before you do your speech, can I say something?
Hold on. I just want to explain to the audience. Ted's raising his prices on 9/11. He's raising the prices because he wants to put the money toward a tennis court that his son needs because his son suffers from a form of juvenile arthritis. While I think it's admirable to get a tennis court for a little boy, do you have to jack your prices on 9/11? That's what I'm saying, Ted.
Yeah, look it. All right. So in other words, you're saying I'm being commercial.
I think you are.
Okay, I'm going to have to say it. How dare you say that to me?
Ted, please, none of the phony indignation.
No, how dare you say to me that I would commercialize a day as sacred as the 9/11? It is unconscionable and it is untenable for you to say that I would use that day to raise extra money.
Aren't you doing that? You're using that day to jack the prices so you can put it into a tennis court fund. Isn't that right?
I am concerned about the safety of America. That's why...
But aren't you raising the prices for your stakes?
I am, yes.
Why?
To build a tennis court.
For your family.
For my son, who suffers from a form of juvenile arthritis. And I'm taking the opportunity on the 11th of September to raise the prices a little bit.
All right, so you got a New York strip steak here that goes for $24. Tomorrow's menu price is $30?
Tomorrow's menu price is $29.90.
$29.90. You've jacked it up $5.
You know something? I'll say it again. How dare you get me on a national broadcast and accuse me of commercializing the most sacred day in the history of this country, 9/11? The fact of the matter is, I'm using 9/11 as an opportunity, yes, to get a little more money for my product because people are going to want to eat to drown their, to, you know, not to be so sad, and all right, I'll put it in a swimming pool fund, but that's for my son who's sick. So that's not the same thing as commercializing.
You don't think it is?
No.
All right, what do you guys think? If a guy raises the prices on his food on 9/11, but is using that money to buy something for his sick son, has he commercialized that day or has he not?
Bill, those who died at Ted's of Beverly Hills on 9/11, they're going to be around for 9/12 because Ted's is going to be the safest place on earth. And I am not commercializing. I am using the money for a tennis court, but I'm not going to go there with you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ted's is going to be the safest place on earth. He's got all this security. He's got all this stuff. Come on in, have a steak. The money he makes, and he's raised his prices so he can use that money to buy his kid a tennis court. And he's not commercializing 9/11. I don't know how you can't. I don't know how you could possibly ignore the fact that he's commercializing 9/11. And I believe also, Ted, you're using the element of a little boy. Are you there?
Yeah, right here. I'm listening to your lies, yeah.
Okay, you're using the ailment of a little boy to justify jacking your prices.
I'm going to tell you this, Phil, and I put my hand to God on this. If you were in front of me right now, I'd not your front teeth would be down into your stomach. I don't know. I'm shaking. I'm so enraged.
You're jacking the prices and using the ailment of your son to say it's okay on 9/11.
I swear to God, if I ever get my hands on you.
1-800-449-8686. By the way, what ailment does your son have?
What?
What does your son have?
He has diabetes, I told you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I want to say that I'm personally offended by Phil Henry saying that I'm commercializing 9/11. I'm doing it for a very sick child, my son, who has been diagnosed
here
with Lou
Gehrig's
disease. All right, I mean, I know your son is ill, okay?
And for you to say I'm commercializing 9/11, Phil, I feel for the people who have suffered during 9/11.
But the fact is, at your restaurant, you're raising the prices on 9/11, calling it the safest place to be in America, inviting people in, raising the prices, keeping the prices raised through Sunday.
So we can put a little extra money aside for a little boy who has suffered from multiple sclerosis for a long time and is being absolutely... And by the way, I'd like to say this. If I can make my restaurant Arab-free, I'm going to do that, too. And I know that you are probably against that, Phil.
That's a violation of civil rights. You're a public establishment, a public accommodation. That's a violation of the Public Accommodation Act of the Civil Rights Law.
Well, I'm going to keep my restaurant Arab-free on 9/11. So you do what you want to do.
God, you are angry, man.
When it comes to my country and my little boy, you bet. I'll pay the ticket.
1-800-449-8686. Elaine, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello. I'm just outraged. I cannot even believe what I've heard on this show. I mean, for this guy to be charging, you know, I cannot believe. Am I talking to the restaurant owner here?
Yes, ma'am.
This is outrageous. How dare you? How dare you use
dare
this
I
anniversary?
What?
And your sick little boy, what does he have? Does he have juvenile arthritis or juvenile diabetes or multiple sclerosis?
He has juvenile arthritis. Yes. He has juvenile arthritis.
Well,
I said he has juvenile arthritis, ma'am.
Well, if Phil will play the tape back for you, you've said juvenile arthritis, you've said juvenile diabetes, you've said multiple sclerosis. Obviously, this is a story.
I happen to know that my son is ill. My son is ill, and I wanted to raise a little extra money. What's your problem? You don't believe in helping kids?
I don't buy it. And frankly, Phil, I think that you're giving this guy way too much publicity. I mean, you know, this thing about no Arabs is even more offensive. If you are raising the money for the orphans of September 11, well, then maybe that's one thing.
No Arab is coming into my restaurant on 9/11.
That's a violation of the civil rights.
Property values, okay, using the sentimental tragedy, okay, and the nostalgia of people.
Do you own a business? Do you know even know what you're talking about?
You know,
property
I know
values?
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't think you do.
I know exactly what.
I
where are you going to build a tennis court, Phil? Where are you going to build it? In your egg?
On my property. On my home.
And that's
right.
Not going to increase your property values? What, are you crazy? What's the matter?
I've got a little sick boy, okay, who needed to play tennis.
Yeah, I know.
The doctor
he's got
said,
juvenile diabetes, and he's got multiple sclerosis, and he's got, what else, dementia, too? That's what you
ma'am,
have.
Ma'am, if you want to sit down and break bread with an Arab, then you may as well drive your car straight into the UN, okay?
Oh,
you won't be doing it at my restaurant.
Please.
What are you doing, man?
Like
in the name of a,
give all
in,
of us a bad
yeah.
name.
In the name of a little boy getting well, you're not letting Arabs into your restaurant. You're raising your prices on 9/11, and you have the gall to say you're not commercializing that day.
And I also said one other thing. If you were standing in front of me, I'd deck you. And Elaine, by the way, that goes for you too. I don't care if you are a quote lady.
I'd love to see you try it,
yeah?
baby. I'd love to see you try it.
Let me tell you something. I'd rather feed the camel they ride on than feed an Arab. I would rather feed the very camel they ride on than feed an Arab.
You are a racist.
You are such an
you
ignorant.
You are. You'll be violating the law, Ted, if you do not seat Arabs because they're Arabs. It's a violation of the Civil Rights Act, okay?
No, please don't give this guy any more airtime. He's just getting a freaking rip out of this.
Listen to the two of you who don't own businesses telling me 21 years I made Ted's of Beverly Hills what it is today. My father drank up the profits of that place, but I put it back on the map. And if I don't want to sit some towel wrapper at my restaurant on 9/11 of all days, then I'm not going to sit. I just might as well tell every single towel wrapper in Beverly Hills, stay out of my restaurant, okay? I'll pay for this time. It's mine, okay?
You'll pay for the time, huh?
I bought the time.
Well, maybe I'll just cancel your advertising on my show.
You know something, Phil? I got a sick little boy.
You got a sick little boy, and I understand that. But you want to raise money for the tennis court. And the lady made a good point. You'll jack your property values on your house with a tennis court, won't you?
That's not the point.
Won't you? Where do you live anywhere?
That's not the point. Oh, listen to you laughing at a sick boy, huh?
I don't believe your boy is sick. I'm sorry, because you've said so many different ailments. First it was juvenile arthritis, then juvenile diabetes.
I said that he has juvenile arthritis. I said it. I don't know how many times you want me to say it.
You said Lou Gehrig's disease. You also said polio.
Oh, bullcrap, I did
not. And multiple sclerosis. He did say multiple sclerosis. I didn't hear polio, but I heard multiple sclerosis.
Multiple sclerosis is the same as juvenile arthritis.
It's
the same disease.
It's
the same disease.
And
let me tell you something else. Elaine, you're a lady. If you were standing in front of me, I'd clock you. Doesn't make any difference,
well,
okay?
You know what that means, Ted? You know what that means?
I'll tell you what it means. It means you and Arabs can stay out of my restaurant.
It means you're not a man.
All right, Elaine, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know how you got so angry, man. Tammy, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi,
Tammy. Go ahead.
I really have to agree with the woman who was just on the show.
This is just, it's ridiculous. First of all,
ridiculous.
I understand that your little boy is sick. That has nothing to do with 9/11 and the people out here. That the money that you're raising for this tennis court should be going to the families or to a charity for the families, the people that lost families on 9/11. Or if you wanted to go for your little boy, then why don't you give the money to a charity? Because there's other little boys that need that too.
This wait a minute, how's that going to go to my boy if I give it to a charity?
Why are you building this tennis court? It's your home. What should we pay for it? You pay for it yourself.
You are coming into my restaurant and you're getting a service for your money.
Lying son of a gun. Okay.
Hey. Let me tell you something. You're 86. You're 86. You don't get in. You're 86. Hey, you know something, Tammy? You and Elaine, I've never hit a woman in my life, but you and that Elaine who just called, I'd clock both of you. And you too, Henry, for saying what you said.
Saying what I said, huh? I'll say it again.
Why don't you buy a car phone that somebody can actually understand you?
Head at a time.
I'd kick you right, you squack, you rusty squack. Is that right? Let me tell you something, Tammy. Any towel wrapper sets foot in my restaurant.
God, you know what you sound like?
I know I am. Who are you? I know I am. What are you? I know I am. What are you?
Hey.
You're a freaking Tommy gun. I hope those cobblestones you're riding over giving you a thrill, too.
Okay.
God almighty, I can't stand it. Let me tell you something. Tents of Beverly Hills is open tomorrow, 9/11. It's the safest place to be. And, yes, I'll charge extra for the steaks, but I'm not commercializing the day.
And you won't let any Arabs in.
That's right. Oh, I forgot that part. I'm not letting Arabs in. What do you think of that? Any Arab out there got a problem with it?
You're going to have yourself a problem with the federal government. You can be sued federally, okay?
Except Jamie Farr. I'm letting him in.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell, who's raising the prices on his steaks tomorrow to get money for a tennis court for his son. He's not letting Arabs in, and he says he's not commercializing 9/11. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, let's see. I'll leave the studio tonight, and we'll go up the N train there to Times Square and get back into our hotel. We're live in New York. It's the Phil Henry Show, and tomorrow is the anniversary of the atrocities on 9/11. We will be ratcheting the shtick down just a tad tomorrow, and we'll ratchet up perhaps the commentary. And we can do equal in with equal effectiveness, I think. But tomorrow's going to be a very special day for this country, because we will be reminded of what we endured a year ago, even if there are some people that don't really want to be reminded of it or who think that we deserved it. I really like these people who believe that it was all our fault, and if we just changed our attitude toward the Middle East, then 9/11 would never have happened. Okay, let's say that that's true. Where does that leave us now? Well, you shouldn't be saber-rattling. So what we should have done is just let them fly two planes into two buildings, murder 3,000 people, fly another plane into the Pentagon, and then another 40 people who bravely took out the hijackers on Flight 93, and then we let all of that happen, then we just sit down and we suck our thumbs and say we're really sorry for being bad guys and we'll never do it again, and please, Al-Qaeda, don't attack us? Is that kind of what we're talking about here? You don't want a long, drawn-out war on terror? You'd like us to have an effective little kind of terror police force that every time something bad happens, they run out into the world and they take care of it and they come back and we can get back to being normal again? Is that how you foresee the next several years of your life? Well, good luck, Charlie, because it ain't going to be anywhere near like that. You might as well give that one up, move to Australia, become Chinese. I don't know what it is you're going to have to do, because that ain't the way it's going to be. No more. We are going to be fighting this war, as the president has told you, over the course of our lifetimes. And I don't say that as a Republican or a Democrat. I say that as an American. I said it was a guy with his eyes open. I got my eyes open. I can see what's going on. And give peace a chance. That's a hot one. All right, let's see. So, tomorrow, I've got a big list of the events that will be taking place tomorrow. But I did want to mention some of the things that we've seen in New York so far since we got here. One of them is the delightful finger lighter that my son Christopher purchased in Little Italy. Hey, yes. Chris bought a lighter with an extended middle finger and the thumb. And when you push the thumb in, flame comes out of the top of the finger. Did I mention this yesterday? I didn't. Because I could hear him clicking it. And, of course, he comes back to the table. We're sitting at this nice little restaurant. And all these guys have got Italian accents, even though the waiters are all from Mexico. Seriously.
All right. This is a good Cabernet Sauvignon. Like the guys, you know, he's coming right at it. Like the guy was just marinated in olive oil. But I said, where are you from?
Guadalajara. Okay. And as he was serving us, Chris is there at the table. And, hey, look at this. Click, 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 click. With a big finger lighter. Just click, 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 click.
I said, dude, you're going to be out of butane by the end of the night. And then you flashing that finger around, the wrong guy's going to see it. And he's going to, what are you, 6 foot and good looking? You're going to be 5 foot three ugly.
What do you want, bud?
I want to thank you to bring me here to
New York.
New York. And we have uplifting email.
An uplifting email. Go ahead.
The third annual Organic Festival will be held in Oak Park in Santa Barbara, September 14th and 15th, and you can win prizes and receive a free copy of the new Organic Resource Guide. For more information, go to organicfestival.com. What?
Why are you talking about that now?
It's an uplifting email. The Organic Festival is a full 2 days of celebrating the wonders of the...
Give me that! The Organic Festival is full 2 days celebrating the wonders of the organic lifestyle. Continue life. Well, what's uplifting about that?
Dude, sneak to go to Organic Festival.
It's got nothing to do with my show, does it?
What an ego case.
What's that supposed to mean?
So every email is supposed to be about you.
Yes, that's what uplifting email is.
And we can't post 9/11 be more different. Organics is fun. You can grow things and everything.
What's that got to do with 9/11?
In a post 9/11 world, we need to be more aware of a thing going on.
Well, thank you, Mr. Program Director.
Well, thank you very much. I do have my sights set on that someday.
Yeah, well, don't start on my show. Take your uplifting email of an organic festival and get out of here.
What an asshole, but it's too bad. Used to be a nice guy.
Yeah, I've changed, haven't I?
Sure have. All that money just made you a major butthole.
Don't you slam that door. You did, he slammed the door.
Butthole.
I'm here talking about New York and everything else, and he wants to come in with a big uplifting email about the Organic Festival in Santa Barbara. Anyway, where was I?
You're talking about some kid with a finger lighter.
Yeah, well, at least it was interesting.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, why did he have to come to this remote? Why are we,
Mr. Hall wanted me to pay close attention to you.
Anyway, go out on the other side of the glass and look at me, okay? And carry my bags. That's what you're good for.
Ass.
So Chris has had this finger lighter, and sure enough, he's blown out all the butane on his thing, so we've had to go from store to store. You know, let me tell you something about having kids. One of the things about having kids is you got to go from store to store looking for stuff you never heard of before, stuff you'd never buy. We got to go to a Walmart. What for? I got to get special caps for my cap pistol, and they don't have them at Target. I don't know. What am I looking for here, man? Come on. I know the store. You're driving 16 stores in the course of an afternoon looking for caps for a cap pistol. Then you're looking around for butane for his finger lighter. Then you may be looking around for a special mutated version of Halo, some game that's only good for GameCube, but it's got the special symbol, and they don't have it at Best Buy, and maybe they have it at Circuit City, and we're driving around a half an hour, 2 hours looking for that. Now what are we looking for? I'm looking for a really, it's a pink little bag, and you keep, you know, lipstick in it. I don't know. Okay, so that was Chris's finger lighter, and then, you know, like I said, we had a blast, but through it all, we are getting back into the rhythm of being New Yorkers, and as I mentioned, one of those things is jaywalking, and the other is taking the subway. If you take the subway and you jaywalk, you are, although you may not be a New Yorker, you can pass for one. And I'm just getting back into the jaywalk thing. Now, I don't want to get killed. And one of the things with me is when I'm walking against the light, even if the car is 800 yards away and there's no possibility of the guy hitting me, I still run. Oh, God, I got to get away because it says red and it says don't walk. And I'm doing what every New Yorker does. I'm going against it. I'm walking against the red. The car is 6 miles away and I'm running. Oh, God, I'm going to get hit. What are you running for, man? You know, the car's nowhere near you. I know, but it's wrong. There's something wrong. And it's parked. It's parked. It's 6 miles away parked, you know. And then the other thing is taking the subway, which is not confusing. I mean, you put in your $17, you get the week pass, which Craig and I got. You got to figure out which train to take where, right? You don't want to go to the Bronx. You don't want to go, you know, I'm not going uptown at all this week. I'm going way downtown. But I don't want to go as far away as Brooklyn either. So you got to figure out which train you're on. And once you do, you're boom. You know, you're there. I don't know how long. It took me about a half hour to get here from Times Square to Rector Street, which is where our studio is near on Wall Street. But I got off. I got my little pass and I got into the station, and I got on the train, and I sat down, and everything's groovy until the guy next to me falls asleep on me, and I'm like, you know, it was cool, and the guy's, oh, I'm terribly sorry, it's fine, you know what, but you know what, you can wait till you get, you know, and not everybody has to sleep on a subway, all right, everybody stay awake on a subway. Not everybody has got to sit there and sleep on the subway, although I was tempted to do the same thing. And so we're doing our show here from Wall Street all this week. And the security, as I mentioned, is intense up and down the street, up and down the island. Tomorrow, the president's going to be here. Governor Pataki's going to be here. They're going to have bagpipes starting at 1 o'clock this morning. Did you hear that? Starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow morning, 9/11, 1 o'clock, 9/11, 1 a.m. 9/11. My understanding is they will begin with a parade of bagpipes. And then at 8 a.m., well, you know what? This is 8 a.m. Eastern. So that's 5 a.m. Pacific. What did I saw? I saw something on Fox about 1 o'clock in the morning. 8 a.m., forgive me, 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific, five bagpipe and drum processionals from New York's five boroughs will arrive at Ground Zero. At 8:45, there'll be an intro of a moment of silence. At 8:46, a moment of silence observed at Ground Zero. And then the president and Mrs. Bush observe a moment of silence on the South Lawn of the White House at 8:46. And the president will be coming up here, and at some point during the day, he will be addressing, I think he'll be on Ellis Island making some comments. It's going to be a very emotional day. And the day begins, as I said, 8 a.m. Eastern, and it will conclude sometime around 9:15 Eastern when Major League Baseball observes a moment of silence. All games will be halted tomorrow night at 9:11 local time. Wherever you are at 9:11, Major League Baseball will halt its ball games. So the day is, that's the end of the day, and all during the day, incredible emotion and incredible moments of remembrance and amazing recitations, the Gettysburg Address, FDR's Four Freedoms speech, a number of things. That'll be tomorrow, and we'll be here for it on The Phil Henry Show. We are in New York City, The Phil Henry Show, all this week. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're in New York, and we are here until Friday, and we're broadcasting actually from Jim Cramer's studio at Street.com. Thanks, Jim, for the studio. Appreciate that. And everybody here at Street.com giving us a hand right across the street from the Wall Street, the New York thing, the thing where they go in, you know, the stock exchange. That's it. The guys with the green jackets, and they stand out there smoking their cigarettes like noontime. There's 8 million guys in green jackets just puffing away on weeds and flicking the butts out in the street, and that's what they do. Those are the guys. They control the ebb and the flow, the highs and the lows of our economy, the confidence of people who have their stocks and involved in their retirement. And these guys they'll turn a stock into a winner or a loser based upon who cut that egg fart. They have got a million different, they're like witch doctors over there, aren't they? It's like witchcraft. It really is. It's just, see, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe, iffy, haw, I don't know, throwing bones, you know, it's open the door, some kind of method, I don't know what it is. Observations in New York today, I saw, by the way, they got a great Ouija board, I saw a guy walking out of there with a Ouija board, and it's mine. So I'm walking down the street today, I see these three cops, one of them is sitting in the radio car, and there's two cops standing there, and one cop reaches down and pinches the inside of the thigh of another cop, right? And then goes over to the radio car, and the cop who had his thigh pinched looks down at the cop in the radio car and goes, "Sergeant, why do you suppose he did that?" Then I kept on walking. This is New York cops. "Hey, Sergeant, why do you suppose he did that? Guy pinched his thigh." Then I kept walking last night, if you saw last night. The New York City police ride Harley-Davidsons, which is kind of interesting. The California Highway Patrol used to have Harleys, and now they're all Kawasaki's. And I don't know what the different... Are they going back to Harleys? And the different police agencies and highway patrols across the country and state police, they all kind of vary. New York, they ride these Harleys. And they had them... NYPD motor cops were out in Times Square last night at letting tourists get on the bikes. It was the goofiest thing you ever saw. The cops, and then the cops are letting the tourists take pictures of them with the bike, and them and the tourist, and them on top of the bike. Wild. Very interesting vibe. Very interesting vibe. And for the first time, you'll hear people say the following thing. "God, I really liked Times Square back when there were a few junkies and prostitutes hanging around. What happened?" You know, you got a guy in, and he cleans the whole thing up, and people miss the days when there was somebody dying from AIDS down in some busted-down hotel. There's someone bleeding, you know, like a freaking gonorrhea pus wounds or something. "Yeah, I really miss those days, don't you, Eddie? Whatever happened to the old New York?" Yeah, well, now I got my two kids running around there at 10 o'clock at night feeding carrots to the horses with the carriages. This is when it's Disneyland. Believe me, there's still plenty of places. If you love the seedier, scummier side of life, there's still plenty of places to go. Craig Taylor's apartment, for starters. Did you say you went down to CBGB's?
Yeah.
CBGB's, which was the sort of punk attitude club in the late 70s. And it started, Max's Kansas City was another one. But this place, where is that, man?
It's in
CBGB's is like Lower East Side?
It's right where Chinatown and Soho and Greenwich Village, where they all kind of meet.
Yeah, right, like I said, the Lower West Side. So anyway, this is where all the kids would, you know, the punks would meet in the 70s. And bands like Sex Pistols and Richard Hell and the Voidoids and Blondie and The Clash and you name it, Television and who?
Ramones.
The Ramones were there and just a number of bands. Now it's a goth club. So, you know, it's got a lot of those fat girls with the big, long black gowns and their powdered faces, big red lips, that sort of like V-cut, you know, that Mo Howard V-cut thing with the long black hair and the black eyeliner. And Craig just had a blast. He loved it. He just dug it, man. And they're running all that Robert Smith stuff, that weird-ass cat that you dig, all that Cure. Craig had one beer and he split. He was out till 5 o'clock yesterday morning. This morning, I should say. Well, we went over to Ruby Foo's on Broadway and we had all that gringoed up Chinese food. See, what's happening now is they're doing the Chinese food what they did originally to Mexican food, which is they made it palatable for the gringos. And they've got this Chinese / Japanese food that's all that really tasty chow mein and, but I got to tell you, I had some sushi with a jalapeno pepper in it. It was out of this freaking world, man. It was real good. And we popped out a couple of tequilas and got the hell out of there. But Taylor takes off. I'm on my way back to the hotel because I work for a living. I don't know what Taylor does. And he says, "Well, see you later. I'm going down to meet a friend of mine in Greenwich Village." And he goes down there. The guy's got home at 6 a.m., out all night long. Now, the place we got to hit is the White Horse Tavern because that's where Dylan Thomas had his last drink. I got to go there, even though it's the complete tourist trap now, but whatever. I mean, so that means I don't have a drink at Sloppy Joe's, even if it's not the real Sloppy Joe's? I'll go to Sloppy Joe's, even if it's not the real Sloppy Joe's. At least the White Tavern is, the White Horse is the real White Horse. And the White Horse Tavern, oh, I got to plug, well, more tomorrow, okay? Let me plug our Vegas trip. The 27th to the 29th, the Phil Henry Show is live at the Luxor in Las Vegas. That's the 27th to the 29th. You got to join us for this. We'll have a happy hour, a live broadcast. That's on Friday night. Then on Saturday night, we'll have a blues and brews party. You can hang out with me and do a little dancing to a live blues band. The package also includes two tickets to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum, free admission to the Raw Nightclub after the parties conclude. And on top of everything else, you get a special gift from me. The package is worth over $500, but it's for you only $348. Based on double occupancy, two people, $348 for this tremendous weekend with the Phil Henry Show at the Luxor in Las Vegas. But you must call 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000, tell them you want the Phil Henry package, because we have a limited number of packages available, so make your reservations now.